We get you set up for Sunday afternoon, 3:25, CBS, Chiefs and Bengals. And one thing that I find very interesting is that there are times when the Chiefs play teams that either know they're already severely underdogs, so the only tactic they have is to try to get inside the head of the other team. And we've known for a few years now, at least in Andy Reid's tenure here in Kansas City, that's not his route. We've heard players before. Remember just last year, Justin Reid had something to say on Twitter, and then Andy Reid came out and was like, yeah, we don't do that here.
That was for the Bengals, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And we remember, maybe that was 2 years ago. I can't really remember. Trying to be as factual as I can
be. You don't want to get something wrong and have that guy text in.
Either way, the narrative of the story was Justin Reid barked back, and Andy Reid basically nipped it in the bud and was like, we don't do that. And it reminds me this year, and I'll play some audio that kind of defends that, but you remember when they played Jacksonville a few years back after Jacksonville had gone to the AFC Championship game and Tom Brady had beaten them once again. Tom Brady moved on, and, you know, one co-host of this former station's show said that Blake Bortles could be Tom Brady in the future. Right. Not going too well there. And
that was 16, I think. That was so long ago.
Okay. And then the next year, everybody was like, Jacksonville's got one of the best defenses. They did.
Yeah.
They had rising stars. That was a young Jalen Ramsey. And if you remember,
who was the coach of that Jacksonville
team?
Was it Del Rio at that time? Or Doug Buffone? It was one of those guys.
Had to be Del Rio.
I think you're right. I think it was Del Rio.
Because then Del Rio was fired like 2 years later after they went to the AFC Championship game because the team absolutely collapsed.
And then they hired Urban Meyer after him, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he didn't last a year.
And then he was kicking injured kickers.
Yeah.
And what was funny about that is like, couple of their players who were new to the success and new to the scene of being, you know, relatable. Jacksonville was Jalen Ramsey had things to say. Remember, he said that Tyreek Hill was a good special teams player.
Right.
Or a return specialist.
He was a return specialist. And yes, that's right.
Then you had, like, I think it was either Miles Jack or another guy that was like laughing or giggling at the press, at the podium and the, not the pregame press conference, but the weekly press conferences. And someone had asked him, like, what are you laughing about? And he's like, ask me after the game.
Yeah.
Ask me after the game. Well, the Chiefs went out there and absolutely housed Jacksonville. They destroyed them. They broke them. Literally broke them. Jacksonville would break the band up.
And I remember
their coach.
That game because it was at Arrowhead, and it started out as like this rainy day, and then all of a sudden the sun came out, and you know, and that was kind of an homage, I think, to the entire season that year, because they were playing this Jacksonville team who people weren't sure if they could go out there and compete with at that point in time. They did all that smack talking. It rained. They got a lead. The sun came out. Everybody cheered. They ended up winning that game, and Jacksonville has never been the same since then.
They got Trevor Lawrence because they had the first overall pick. That shows you as opposed to like why they got so bad. And now we take that example and we're starting to see that with Cincinnati. And from what I've been told, and I haven't listened to all of the interviews from yesterday inside the locker room at One Arrowhead Drive, but it sounded like Chiefs players took the high road. We're just crazy. Like, Jamar Chase is a great receiver. We're going to have to be aware of where he is on the field. Yada, yada, yada. Cliche. Cam Taylor-Britt took the other way.
What does nature worthy bring to this KC offense that you guys need to be prepared for?
That's about it. He can run straight. Run jet sweeps and just run straight. He can't do too much else, so that's about it. Feel like you put your hands on him. He's only 100-something pounds. So you put hands on him, you'll stop the speed. So basically get hands on him.
Well, I gotta kind of correct you there, Mr. Cam Taylor-Britt. You said all you have to do is get your hands on him. That dude's the fastest guy in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Odds are you're not getting your hands on him. So I think he's already got you beat from that standpoint, because you saw a Baltimore Raven team. Everybody loves their defense all the time, loves the speed that they always provide on their defense. They get after. They didn't touch Xavier Worthy. And you can sit up there and try to say all you want and prepare and think about it and just get your hands on this guy. But he runs so fast, by the time you're in position to get your hands on him, he's run by you and he's into the end zone. And I know we had Tyreek Hill and his speed here, but I don't know. How many times have you gone back and thought about that Xavier Worthy first touchdown play, that jet sweep that he had, and how fast that play happened? I don't know that I've ever seen a faster play on an NFL field than we saw last Thursday night on that jet sweep to Xavier Worthy. That was flat out, whoa, that jumped off the page. So I understand what Cam Taylor-Britt is saying, but there's so many holes in his argument because nobody's been able to get a hand on Xavier Worthy. And quite honestly, at this level right now, there's not enough tape for you to think you've got an idea on how to stop this guy, because so far in one game, they didn't even come close to stopping Xavier Worthy.
And my bad, Doug Marrone, coach of the Jaguars.
That's what I said, yeah, Buffon. That's
my bad. My bad.
Marrone,
The latest misinformation out of Festival of Destiny.
I'm
trying to help you out. I'm trying to protect myself. But yeah, Doug Marrone was the coach of that team. But am I wrong to think that there's like similarities in that? Because, I mean, they tried to, you know, bark up Tyreek Hill, who was, you know, only
5'7",
and he was still able to destroy that defense. And he wasn't even as fast as Xavier Worthy.
I know.
And Xavier Worthy, to be fair, I know I'm going on the other side of this. He's only played in one NFL game and he scored two touchdowns.
I mean, it was had a better debut, right?
No, he was the number one rookie talent in week one.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, you know, the last time the Chiefs and Cameron Taylor-Britt played, I'm pretty sure Rasheed Rice beat him over the top.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't score a touchdown, but he took it 35 yards all the way down to like the 5-yard line.
How fast did that guy look on Thursday night? Like, at times,
and he's
you
way,
probably
way taller.
You probably at times had a tough time saying, is that Worthy or is that Rice? Because they were both so fast. And so the Chiefs don't just have one guy with speed that you have to get your hands on, like the gentleman said. You got a couple of guys out there at that wide receiver spot that got speed. I don't know what happened to Rasheed Rice in the offseason, but we had talked about leading up how excited they were. I didn't realize that Rasheed Rice found another gear for speed during this offseason.
And what's crazy, too, about Cincinnati is they say things that I don't think they truly mean. I think they want to stay relevant with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, they played, what, 5 times, and it's now a 3-2 record. The Chiefs could go and win their third straight in a row. So in one season, they got 2 different three-peats. They could have a three-peat against the Cincinnati Bengals. They could have a three-peat in the Super Bowl. And we know that this is Cincinnati Super Bowl. And what's crazy is no Chiefs player, at least as of yet, and to my knowledge, has really came out and attacked their roster or their team, even though there are so many options to do so. It's only the local Cincinnati media that's really like kind of giving them fuel, plus us, but we're buffoons that talk on the air and try to entertain.
We're just reacting to what these guys are saying.
And this is what Burrow said.
Yeah, of course you miss that. I just miss playing football. I miss being out there with the guys. So it's a luxury right now to be criticized by all you guys about how we played on Sunday, because I was, you know, sitting in the wings for 7 weeks last year. So I'm just excited to be out there.
It's our job to be critical, though. Like, but that's
and
I mean,
that's their town telling them what it looks like. Because I'm sorry, last year when the Chiefs lost to the Las Vegas Raiders on Christmas Day, my lead topic on After Hours was, this is the bottom of the pit of the season. This is rock bottom. You can only go up from here. Boy, was I right. I'll tap myself on the back for that one, because they ended up winning the Super Bowl. And a lot of people that came after me on that show that night was like, you can't honestly tell me this is a Super Bowl winning team. And I said, well, they have Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce.
Why couldn't you
the
say
hell
that?
They can't. And when you bathe in the luxuries of the criticism, you own that, because Cincinnati had a home game against the New England Patriots and they lost. It's not like it was a last minute double doink field goal that went in.
And you shouldn't have been in that position if you're Cincinnati. If you're truly a team that's going to be challenging the Chiefs and challenging for an AFC crown and being considered one of the best teams in the AFC, you can't lose to the Patriots on opening day at home. You just can't do that. That's unacceptable. Because you lost that game, it doesn't give me the same kind of feel going into this game that Cincinnati is a challenger to the Chiefs. They were a week ago. But then you see the quarterback's wrist, you lost to the New England Patriots, you have no offensive weapons of which to speak, and it already looks like it's a rudderless ship that's getting ready to sink.
And look, I love smack talk in sports. Like we always say, more hate in sports, more love in the world. You can't beat that drum, you know, long enough. And I get it, but sometimes you just have to worry about what your team is trying to accomplish and your team is doing before you go and try to worthy about some other team. Because, yeah, that dude's fast. You've seen two explosive plays, and I guarantee you that Andy Reid has at least 10 or, you know, 12 plays that Xavier Worthy can absolutely ignite things with. And the problem with the whole Xavier Worthy touchdown that you saw with the receiving one is he was left alone because he was a rookie with speed that wasn't respected. So if you don't want to respect it, that's fine, because speed will kill you in this game because they have Xavier Worthy over the top. We haven't even mentioned Hollywood Brown, who they are, you know, skeptically can come back. Missed practice yesterday. Doesn't look great.
Doesn't look great, again, but you know, you can still hope, right?
Not only that, if you want to be able to stop anything, you should worry about stopping the run, because if you don't stop the run, that gives Patrick Mahomes salivating, because then all of a sudden when you hit that play action and that guy that runs straight, guess what he gets to do?
Run straight
really fast, yeah. And you won't have a chance of stopping Xavier Worthy for a wide open touchdown. God, I need to get to Sunday.
Well, they didn't stop the run against the New England Patriots. And
170
and
rushing yards.
If you can't stop the run against what was considered one of the worst teams in the NFL coming into this game, what does that say for what the Chiefs are going to roll out there on Sunday? Like, I think it really is going to be one of these games, and like I've been saying all year long, they're out here to send a message to the rest of the league. They're out here to punish their opponents. They're out here to embarrass people. And yeah, it was a close game with Baltimore, but they still won that game, and it felt comfortable for the most part, except for the last play. This game against Cincinnati, though, I don't think the Ravens are as bitter an opponent for the Chiefs as the Bengals are. In fact, I know they're not, right? Like, everybody knows how bitter the Chiefs are towards this Cincinnati Bengal team because of the stuff that they've done, mm-hmm. the smack that they talk, and they have beaten them in the past. They're the one team that has had, you know, I don't want to say sustained success against Patrick Mahomes, but they've won a couple of games against Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, right. Not many teams do that. So you know that's in the side of the Chiefs as well. I don't think this game is going to be particularly close on Sunday. I think this is going to be a game where they absolutely go out there and drub them and send another message to this league that, hey, I told you we were here, and I told you we were going to embarrass people this year.
I hope you're able to leave by the start of the fourth quarter. That'd be nice for you. Nathan, Bob, Dusty, we're all here with you today on 96.5 The Fan. We call the show Fesco and Dusty, and Nate Taylor will join us on the other side. It is your home for Kansas City sports.